emailed me back this morning and he said, thank you so much. He really enjoys it. He says, thanks for doing that for me. He's listening to one on the truck ride today. So it is a blessing, at least for one person. Although there's a whole lot of work that goes into it, Stephen. I hope you appreciate that. Mark chapter 6, beginning in 31. The Bible says, and he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot there, thither out of all cities, and over and outwent them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, this is a desert place, and now is the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about, into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? He saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? And go and see. And when they knew they had, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks, by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided among them all. And they all did eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. So here we have this passage, as we discussed this morning, and you see Jesus moved with compassion for this group of people. One attribute we didn't discuss this morning, though, is the context of what was happening. The disciples had just been sent out 2 by 2, right, into the countryside preaching the gospel. And Jesus brings them together, and he says, let us depart privately to a desert place. That means to a retreat area, if you will, where no one else is around. He says, because they had not had any leisure time. They'd been ministering. They had no leisure time. And notice what the Bible says, to even what? To even eat. They've had no time, not even to eat. So Jesus is regrouping his disciples, and he is taking them away privately, and notice what happens. The crowd follows him. And he gets there. They kind of know where he's going. Probably this is a usual place where people go and they want to be alone. And so they ambush Jesus and the disciples. Now, if I'm a disciple, I've not eaten. I get crabby if I don't eat. Amen? I get crabby. Here are these guys. When we looked at this morning, we mentioned how Jesus was moved with compassion, and the disciples really weren't, right? Jesus saw them as sheep without having a shepherd, and he's like, you know, I'm going to sit down, we're going to teach some things, I'm going to show you some things from Scripture, and the disciples are over there, and their stomachs are rotten. And finally, Jesus, you know, the disciples interject and say, listen, it's late in the day. Send them away that they may eat. Let them go buy bread for themselves. And Jesus looks at these hungry disciples and he says, what? You feed them. Now, I don't know about you. It's my day off. I've just been out ministering. I'm hungry. We were supposed to go here and hang out privately with Jesus. This was supposed to be a Jesus disciple time. You know, putting our heads together, discussing what we did and all of that. And this crowd shows up and interjects themselves in our way. And rather than us spending time with Jesus, Jesus spent time where? With the crowd. I'm kind of miffed. Would you guys be miffed? I'm starving. I've had no time, not even to eat. And all we've got amongst us is 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Jesus says, feed them. Feed them. If I'm a disciple, I've been kind of upset too. And here's where the Scripture is awesome, in that it captures the humanness of these guys, right? We think of the disciples and we think they're super Christians, right? We think that's Peter, that's James, that's John, that's these guys are larger than life. They were men just like you and me. They put their toga on one leg at a time, just like we do. Amen? They're normal human beings with normal attitudes, with normal desires, and they had an issue in that they were starving, they were hungry, and these people got in the way. Sadly, so often when we go about our daily lives, we don't realize that the interjections are times of ministry. How many of you want to deal with a guy asking for money at Walmart? I don't. You guys enjoy that? I don't. I want to go in, I want to buy my snacks, and I want to get out. Right?
Yeah.
I don't want to meet up with a panhandler. I don't want to talk to anybody. I want to go get gold. That's my motto. I am not a shopper. You have a surgical target, you go, you kill it, and you get out. Amen?
That's right.
Hit and run. Don't wander around the store for hours looking at everything there. No, thank you. You go, you get it, you leave. And there are times when you meet people, when people seem to interject themselves, and you act like the disciples and not realizing that's time for ministry. There are times I get home, and the last thing I want to do is talk to my family.
Yes.
You get tired, you've been driving all day, and you just want to get home and crash. And the boys will jump on my lap, Dad, this, look at this, look at this, Dad, look at this, Dad, look, and you don't want to do it. There are times when I go home, and this is just me being transparent, okay? The last thing I want is a phone call. Pastor, somebody said, Pastor, it's hard. It's hard. You said, Pastor, I'm supposed to be like that. I'm not super Christian either. Amen? Hear me. The interjections in our life by things that often upset us and upset our apple cart are the best opportunities we have for ministry.
That's right.
Look at these people. Jesus was moved with compassion. Why? For a right reason. They were like sheep without a shepherd. They had no one to teach them, no one to guide them, no one to love them, no one to sit down and spend time with them, no one to care for them. And Jesus, even though Jesus was tired, Jesus put himself all in. Yes? Who's the one that did the miracle? It wasn't the disciples. When Jesus says, go and feed them, all they had to do was pass around a few fish and a few loaves of bread. Jesus was the one that multiplied it. So hear me. We often get upset. We often get out of sorts when things happen like this not working. But oftentimes that's the best opportunity for ministry. You're going to have people call you and you don't want to talk to anyone. You're going to have your spouse need something when you don't want to meet that need. Right? You guys been there?
Yeah.
Honey, couldn't come to you.
No.
We just love each other. Everything's rainbows and puppies.
It's early.
You notice if you got kids, they get sick or something happens at the worst time, right? They can't be throwing out at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. No, they got to wait till 2 in the morning to start hurling, right? That's just my voice. The interjections in our life, the best times of ministry. And that's not just for me as a pastor, that's for all of us. Because this idea of ministry isn't just pastor only, it's all of us, right? We are Christians. We are called to serve. We are called to minister. We are called to interject ourselves. And let God interjects people into our lives that need Him. And sadly, we act like the disciples when we should have the heart of Christ. Moved with compassion. Because He saw their need. He saw their need. In Buffalo, what Becky and I did on Sunday afternoons, we would go to an assisted living facility for about 2 years. I think 2 or 3 years we were there. And these were people that were handicapped. They had either mental disabilities or they had some physical disabilities. Some were stroke. They were recovering from strokes. And we would go to this facility, and we had church service. And I would teach and preach. I don't think they got anything I ever said. But we loved them. Anytime any of them had a birthday party, guess what they would do? They would invite us. They had Halloween parties. And we don't really celebrate Halloween, but we went. And I dressed up. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go. I'm going to get all in. I dress up as a preacher. We got invited. And was it inconvenient? It was very inconvenient. Man, then we would start service at 3 o'clock. We didn't get home from church till about 1, 1:30. So that means I caught one quarter of the Bills game every week. Then we'd be out ministering. There are times when you get so frustrated because you're preaching your heart out, you're witnessing to them, and it seems like they don't get it. But you read that passage, and we saw those people who had no one to preach to them. They were our little flock. And when we left last August, they cried. We had one lady, Kathy Ray Anderson. She would drive me nuts. She would drive me nuts. She fell and she broke her leg. She had to go to a special facility. And you go there and it's not a very nice facility. It smelled really bad. You go in and there are people with worse problems than the other place we had gone to. I did not want to go. The boys did not want to go. I said, Dad, why do we have to go there? It smells funny. And you know, the people are, in their words, they're weird. Like most people we meet are a little weird. But we went. And we not only got to minister to Miss Kathy, but when we would sit at the table in their little communal room and we would sing, people around us would stop what they were doing to listen. And I remember we were teaching and we're going through the lesson, and Miss Kathy's mind was so gone that she couldn't follow along. You think that text is big. I'd put big thing, you know, bullet points. I'd make sure that she had everything she needed right there in her paper, and she wouldn't even look at it. I spent hours getting that stuff, and she just would get lost, and again, I get so frustrated, and I look over at the table, and there's two or three other people listening to what we're saying. Bless you. My point is this. Ministry is messy. Ministry is messy. The twins can get on your nerves, can't they? They can work your nerves. But if they didn't have us to minister to them, what hope would they have?
That's right.
These disciples, they were upset, they were distraught, they were inconvenienced. But the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 wasn't just to give them a full belly. It was for them to see that it is Jesus who does the work. All we're called to do is pass out the loaves of bread to those who are in need.
That's right.
That's all we're called to do. Do they always want it? No. Does someone throw it back at your face? Oh, yes. Do some of them fall asleep while you're preaching your heart up? They do. But our job is simply to hand out the baskets. Christ is the one that does the miracle.
Amen.
Christ is the one that does the work. We're called to minister. And it's messy. It's frustrating. I get aggravated with people. I get aggravated with some of our members that have been here in 2 or 3 weeks. I get aggravated. I'll be honest. This is pastor confession time. Amen? I get aggravated. Not because it hurts my feelings, but because I see what it's doing to the body. Because I know the truth that we have, the messages, all that, they're missing out. And it aggravates me. But I got to remember this passage. What Jesus commanded the disciples to do. He didn't say, multiply these loaves, wave your hands, do some magic, and go feed the people. No, I'm feeding the people. You simply pass out the baskets. Whether they want it or not is irrelevant. Our duty isn't to win people. Our duty is to share the gospel. Jesus does the winning.
Man.
My job isn't to convince you guys to come back, isn't to build the church. My job is simply to preach the truth and love you. Jesus does the rest. So when we look at this passage, we see Jesus moved with compassion. That should be our heart. As we go into our work, as we go into our schools, as we go into our families, as we get around people that often interject themselves unwantedly into our lives. Remember this. Remember this. Christ wants you to be compassionate. He wants you to serve Him, even amongst people that you'd rather not serve. He wants you to be faithful. And He wants you, like the disciples, to simply hand them the bread. Give them Christ. And it's Jesus who does the miracle. Amen. Father, we thank you for this day you've given us. Thank you for your blessings, your mercy, your grace, your goodness.
Thank you, God, for what you have done in our hearts. Thank you for my church and our church people. I praise you for how you've worked in their lives, how you have grown them. I pray, Lord, that you would continue to work amongst our people. Help them to see the truth that is before them. Help them to see the commitment that you are calling them to. Help them to grow. Lord, may you be glorified in all that we do as we seek to minister. May we remember our calling to be compassionate, to pass out the bread of life to those who are in need. We ask this in your name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.